I'm going to say a shiur from the Rav on the mitzvah of yeshiva v'sukkah. It's in the sefer Shur Shima Shur. Okay, started with the basic question. We do know that there's in the Torah, it says b'sukkah teishu shiva siyamim, that there's a mitzvah to live in the sukkah for 7 days. Okay, and if a person lives in the sukkah during those 7 days, he's mekayim a mitzvah. He's mekayim a mitzvah. And probably getting a mitzvah every second he's there. You know, it's a nice mitzvah. You just, you're someplace and you just keep on racking up mitzvahs. That's why I'm a little bit surprised that not that many people are makpid to sit in a sukkah for long amounts of time. They come in for the meals. But it's a very easy mitzvah. You can rack up thousands of mitzvahs just by sitting someplace. People think it's a suda. We'll talk about the idea of eating in a sukkah, but the Pasuk doesn't say tea, the Pasuk says teishu, to live. So it's to live in a sukkah. So just being there, you're getting a mitzvah. We'll soon see why the food is considered a bit more important, but it definitely is a very clear mitzvah to live in a sukkah, and you get a mitzvah just for every second you're there. Okay. There is also apparently a special mitzvah of eating in a sukkah, because many of the poskim, starts with the Rabbeinu Tam, said that the bracha we make only when you eat. Even though there's no question that there's a mitzvah to be there, that it says very clearly in the Mishnah, make his sukkah his bayis. He has to change his sukkah into his home. He has to move into the sukkah. Sukkah becomes kavua, and his bayis is the way he goes back home for things here and there. But basically, he's supposed to be living in a sukkah. That's the concept. The concept is to live in the sukkah. Not just to eat in the sukkah, but to actually basically live in the sukkah. Okay. So there's a kima mitzvah of living in a sukkah, eating in a sukkah. And then we know that there's an issur to eat outside the sukkah. You're not allowed to eat a meal outside the sukkah. That's clear. The Rambam writes, Ochon v'shoysen v'sheinim b'sukkah called shiva. You're supposed to eat, drink, sleep in the sukkah for 7 days. And he writes, V'asa lechol suda chus the sukkah called shiva. You're not allowed to eat a meal outside the sukkah for 7 days. So if someone takes bread, a sandwich, and eats it outside the sukkah, and the sukkah is very nearby, it's handy, so he violates that prohibition. The question is, when someone's eating, this is the question that the Rav Rabbi Soloveitchik raised, when someone eats that sandwich, yes.
It's
being mevatel the assay. So one way of looking at this is, he's being mevatel the assay. The person who doesn't shake his lulav in an esrog, mevatel the assay. Doesn't eat matzah, doesn't put on tefillin. So eating outside the sukkah is violating the kima mitzvah of the assay. He's not fulfilling the assay. By eating that bread, that kazayis of bread, or that kebetza of bread, the shiur of achila by sukkah is different than kazayis, it's betza. Because it has to be an achila which is a yeshiva. So it means achila is keva. Has to be more substantive than just the plain achila. So achila's keva as beitza, the Gemara says. So if he eats that beitza of lechem outside the sukkah, it's being mevatel mitzvah saseh. Or you can even go further. You can say maybe there's a real isser. It's like eating trey food outside the sukkah. There's an isser, I say. Or like eating on Yom Kippur, Savalovsky Shir, sometimes it's a Chefza, it's a Gavra. But there is an Aveira involved, possibly, eating outside the Sukkah. Because we find a lot of times, a mitzvah says, Torah writes an Aseh, but it means an isseva. If you do something which is an isseva, say veheshev is a gzela, he turned a gzela. If he doesn't, he does an isseva. Say, or hashev teshivim, return the aveda. If he doesn't return the aveda, then isseva nasei. So the isurim of our shalach to shalach are saying, send away the mother. If you don't send away the mother, you did an aveda in this way. Say. So sometimes just a kiyum asei, shake a lulav, eat matzah. Sometimes there's an isur in the asei. So here the Torah said, shivas yomim teshu v'sukkot. You sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Clearly there's a kiyum mitzvah. But eating outside the sukkah is an aveda. It's us. Is that because by eating outside the sukkah is being mevatel the mitzvah? Or is actually doing a real issur, I say, a real issur of eating outside the sukkah? That's the question that the Rav had. So, he said that really this is a machlokas between a minchas chinuch and Reb Chaim Brisker. This question. Reb Chaim Brisker felt there's only a mitzvah sasei. And if you don't do it, you're mevatel the asked mitzvah asay. But the Minchas Chinuch felt that there's actually a real isser of an asay to eat outside a sukkah. It's a real isser asay. Where is this Minchas Chinuch? Where does he say his thing? He says a very sharp Dvar Torah where he applies this idea of an isser. He said like this, there's a... We know that you can't use a lulav agazel, a stolen lulav. The Gemara says that there's a from Sukkim, something, there's a psul of mitzvah bar b'aveira. If you do a mitzvah through an aveira of stealing, it's a psul. So stolen lulav, most of from kabanas, carbon cannot be stolen, that's a pasuk. And we say that lulav is the same. Okay, so all mitzvahs cannot be performed with stolen items. It's a psula called mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Good, and that the Gemara learns out beginning of the third parak in Sech the Sukkah. How long Gemara has derivations to prove such a psula on a mitzvah haba ba'aveira that you don't get the mitzvah. Then back in the test, there's a Gemara specifically about a sukkah. The Gemara says someone eats in a stove, someone steals a sukkah and he eats there. He's not Yotze, because the Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkah is Tasa Loch. The word Loch is it's very Tasa. When you say Loch, Loch Lahotze is Hagzula. It has to be a Sukkah which you did not steal. If you stole it, it's against the word Loch, your thing. So Chag HaSukkah is Tasa Loch, Lahotze is Hagzula. So Tosfos asked the question, why did Gemara and Daf Tes need a special pasuk to prohibit and disqualify stolen sukkah? We know from Daf Lamed that it's possible because of mitzvah bar b'aveira, like a lulav gozel, esrog gozel, matzah gozel, anything which you steal, you can't use for a mitzvah. So how come the one is a special pasuk for sukkah? So there's a few answers there in the Rishonim. They're not so simple answers. So Minchas Chinuch says, I'll tell you my answer. He says the answer is like this. He says a lamdush thing. He says, mitzvah bar b'aveira, someone has a stolen lulav. So he can't use it because it's a mitzvah which is supported or engendered, generated through the aveira of stealing. So let's say he did it. He took the stolen lulav and he shook it. It's not going to be Yotzei the mitzvah. So he says, is that a psul in the mitzvah of the gavra, or is that a psul in the chefetz of the mitzvah? So he shook a stolen lulav. It's definitely not Yotzei. Do I say like this? The lulav is kosher, but because he's a thief, he can't get a mitzvah through the act of stealing. So it's everything is on the gavra level. He cannot fulfill a mitzvah because he's getting the mitzvah through an aveira of gezel. So it's a psul mitzvah in the kiyum of the gavra. Or do I go even further? I say, since it's stolen, that cheftza is pasul for him. It's as if he's taking, I don't know, instead of taking lulav, he's taking a willow. It's a different chavtza. It's stolen. It's pasul. Disqualified. That's the question. So he wants to say he feels that in general, a lulav, a gozel, the chefetz is fine. It's only a psul in the mitzvah of the gavra. In general, mitzvah bo b'avera means a person cannot get a mitzvah through an avera. It has nothing to do with the chefetz itself. The chefetz itself is a regular lulav. He stole it, so he can't get a mitzvah by stealing it. So it's a chson in the key mitzvah of the gavra. That's what general. However, by sukkah, it's a special pasuk. Chagasukas tasa loch, hotei sakzula. That pasuk is machadish a psul cheftza. Now the sukkah itself is pasul for the gazlan. As a cheftza, it's a psul cheftza. So he said, what's the difference? Who cares? He stole it. He can't get the mitzvah. What's the difference if I say it's a psul gavu or psul cheftza? Says the difference is if someone steals a sukkah and he eats in that stolen sukkah, he definitely will not get the mitzvah of sukkah because it came through the act of stealing. But did he violate the isser of eating outside of sukkah? That'll be the difference. If there's no psul cheftza, he's sitting in a kosher sukkah and he's eating inside a kosher sukkah, he's not getting the mitzvah of sukkah because it's b'gzeila, it's a mitzvah bar b'aveira. But he's still not eating outside a kosher sukkah. He happens to be eating inside a kosher sukkah, and for whatever the reason is, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah, but he's not doing the aveira of eating outside a sukkah. But once you have the pasuk lach lahotzei sagzula, that the chefza of the sukkah itself is pasul, at that point, he's literally eating outside a kosher sukkah because he's eating in a pasul sukkah. Now he's already violating the isser of eating outside a sukkah. He says that's his answer to Taisus Kasha. Why did the Gemara come up with a new pasuk, the Hotzei Sagzula, to create? The answer is to create a psul cheftza, and by getting that psul cheftza, now the fellow who's eating in that sukkah, the thief, is violating not just he's being mevatel the assay, he's not getting the assay, he's eating a sandwich without getting the mitzvah assay, which is bitul assay. He's also doing an issu of eating outside a kosher sukkah. He's not eating in a kosher sukkah, so it's an aveva already. That's what Minchas Chinuch's answer. According to Minchas Chinuch, there's two parts to the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, and if you don't do the mitzvah, you may battle the mitzvah, but there's also a separate issa to eat outside the sukkah. It's an aveva mamish. It's an avila aveva. Yes?
There's
no pasuk that says same pasuk shivas yomim teishu besukkah or b'chagasukas taslach al shivas yomim. So that pasuk teaches me a key mitzvah, but it also teaches me an issur. I say not to eat outside. It says shivas yomim teishu besukkah. Implied is there's an issur to eat outside of sukkah. It's not very. It's from that same pasuk. Could be a big nafkamina, because on a mitzvah, the Gemara says chomesh. You only spend 20% of your money to do a mitzvah; otherwise, you're relieved. Say a mitzvah costs you more than 20% of everything you want, then you're putter from the mitzvah. But the Gemara says that's only key of mitzvahs. I say, but let's say you have an isser. There's some isser. An isser, I have to spend every penny in my bank account to avoid an issa. So there's no limit of 20%. So let's say there'll be some financial reason why he can't or doesn't want to eat in the sukkah. So the only sukkah nearby, they charge money. And it's going to be, if it's a mitzvah, then he has a 20% limit. He only says spend 20% if his issue is being mevatel the mitzvah. So it costs more than 20% of my fortune for me to get a lulav or an esrog. A potter. But in aveira, there's no limit. how much money I have to spend to avoid an aveira. So there's left of the course of more than 20%, then he's going to have to avoid the aveira and not eat the sandwich, because even if it's more than 20%, that the price that he's going to be losing by eating, by going to the sukkah. Okay, so the Kohen Gadol Chaschena, there's a nisr and vow. Someone eats outside the sukkah. It's not just being mevatel a mitzvah asay. There's a real isr asay eating outside a sukkah. There could be also a difference. As Rabbi Savalovsky was speaking about in his shir, that's, can you feed a child a sandwich outside the sukkah? Because lo sachilim, you're not allowed to feed children macholas asus. This child is maybe, let's say, if it's just a bit of a mitzvah saseh, children are not chayv in the mitzvah saseh of eating in a sukkah. So then I could give a child a sandwich outside a sukkah. But if we're going to say that eating outside a sukkah is literally an aveira, I can't make children do aveiros. That's a special there's a custom of sachilim. You can't give children not kosher food to eat, even though they're not. You don't have to give a child lulav and a nesrig unless he's a certain age, mit rabbanon. But mit the raisa, there's no mitzvah of giving a child to help him do a mitzvah say, but I'm not allowed to have a child, I'm not enable a child to do an aveira. So, mit the raisa, if a child is below age, I could give him a sandwich if it's just an issue of being makayim or being mevatel the assay, because he's part of that assay. But if it's an isser to eat outside a sukkah, I can't feed a child food outside a sukkah. So according to Minchas Chinuch, there is a real isser, I say, to eat outside a sukkah. It's a very big chiddush. It's a very big chiddush. You would think it's a mitzvah, I say, and if I don't do it, I'm a battle, I say. But I wouldn't think that eating outside a sukkah is a mamish and isser. It's a real aveir. But Minchas Chinuch says, yes, it is. That's how he reads it, yes.
For a child, though, what do you have to be chayav in order to be mevatel?
That's something that, okay, that was what Rabbi Savalovsky was talking about, that some, he wanted to claim that like Yom Kippur, the assay of Tanu, the Kima Mitzvah, that's what triggers the Losa assay. If you don't have the, but you're a svara, you could argue that. It's a possibility that if the child doesn't have the chiyuv mitzvah, the kima mitzvah, to eat in a sukkah, then he won't get the issue of eating outside the sukkah, because they go hand in hand. But you could distinguish. You could say, no, he doesn't have the kima mitzvah, but he has the issue of it. It's a good question. It's an open question. Yes? Okay, it's fine. Okay, so Minchas Chinuch has two parts of the mitzvah, a kima say, and an isra say. Reb Chaim Brisker disagreed. He thought it's a very big chiddush, and he said he doesn't think that it's warranted to promulgate a new isser to eat outside of sukkah during sukkahs. Being mevatel the mitzvah, yes, but to say it's an isser that he felt was going too far. Okay. Now the Rav, he had some kind of middle position here, somewhere between Minchas Chinuch and Reb Chaim, a very interesting middle position. He said sometimes being mevatel the assay figures in this, sir, like you suggested. What's your name, by the way? What are your two names?
Ari
and
Zach.
Zach, you and I have Zach. You attend me for a meal? Ever? No.
No.
Okay. Anyway, so Ari suggested that maybe the Issa connects to the mitzvah. So the Rav said sometimes yes and sometimes no. And how did he do this? He wanted to suggest the following idea. That when you have a chiyuv to do a mitzvah, have a chiyuv to eat matzah, shake a lulav, sit in a sukkah, and this fellow is mevatel the mitzvah. He doesn't do the mitzvah. So the Rav wanted to say, depends. That so when someone's mevatel the mitzvah, it's a chet. It's a chet, but it's not the same kind of a chet as a nisr, okay, as an aveir. It's a chet, but you call it a chet, but not an aveira. It's not a good thing, about the mitzvahs I say, but you still wouldn't call the guy a bal aveira. Sometimes, so he wants to say like this, if he's mevatel that asay in an active way, he called it kum v'asay, that would turn into an aveira. If he's mevatel the asay by being passive, shev al taisa, that would not be an aveira. So let's say, if a fellow just doesn't eat matzah, he was mevatel the mitzvah passively, that's not an aveira, that's being mevatel a mitzvah. But let's say he took the baby birds with the mother bird, so he violated the lotas service, he came up on. Now he has a mitzvah, shalach after shalach. If he kills the mother, he's being mevatel the asay biyadayim, he's killing her. It's going to come directly against the shalach to shalach. That turns into a nisa, because the Gemara says a chiddush. The Gemara says, it has a problem. If you have a lo sase with an ase, lo t- and shalach to shalach. So it's called a lav hanitza glase. He does the lav, he takes the mother and the baby birds, and then he can be mekayim a mitzvah shalach to shalach. If he does that mitzvah, he won't get malchus. Lav hanitza glase. But let's say the Gemara says if he kills the mother bird, he kills her, then then he will get malchus. If he just doesn't do anything, he doesn't send her away. He took both of them, they're sitting by him in his house, in the cage. Then we won't give him malchus because he violated the lo's assay, but there's still a potential for the assay. If he kills the mother bird, he's mevatel the assay, then we'll give him malchus. So the Rav learned, because when he's mevatel the assay by killing the mother, he's doing an issa. He's making the issa greater. First he took them together, then he kills the mother. So killing the mother is bitl assay biyadayim. The bitl assay biyadayim is an maisa aveira. That maisa aveira completes the los assay, so now he gets malchus. So you see from that Gemara that when you have a mitzvah saseh and you're mevatlet biyodayim, you're literally doing an aveira. So therefore he wants to say like this. So you have to look now at every mitzvah saseh. If a person fails to do it, is he failing to do it in a passive way or in an active way? So let's say he found an aveda. Now he has a mitzvah saseh, hashiv teshivei. Let's say he found $1,000. There's a name. Here's it was an envelope with a name. $1,000. So, if he doesn't do anything, he picked it up and doesn't return it, he's being mevatel the assay passively. That would not be an aveira. That would be bitul assay. But if he would take that $1,000 and spend it on himself, then he's being mevatel the assay if you're dying. Now he would get an aveira already. If it's sitting in this house, he doesn't do anything, it's mevatel an asay. But if he takes the money and spends it, then it's a maisa aveira of being mevatel an asay, being a dime, it becomes much worse. So according to the Rav, every time a person has a mitzvah asay and fails to do it, you have to examine how did he fail to do it? Did he fail to do it by just not doing it? It's mevatel an asay, it's a chet, definitely wrong. Or did he fail to do it because he actually undid it or made it impossible to do it, biyadayim, then it turns into an aveira. So he wants to say a very big chiddush. He wants to say by sukkah, if a person, so we said before that sukkah means you have to move into the sukkah and live there. You should sleep there, you should spend time there, and also eat there. If you do these activities outside the sukkah, Raman does these activities outside the sukkah, he's failing to do the mitzvah sasei. He's doing mevatel the asei. So he wants to say, is he doing it in this? But I say, no, he didn't go into the sukkah, he's being passive. What he does outside the sukkah is irrelevant. He's not in the sukkah when he's supposed to be there. So it's a passive bittul asay. So it's bittul asay without an aveira. Well, is there sometimes if he does something outside the sukkah, it's so outrageous, it's so blatant, it's like being mevatel the asay biyadayim. He says yes, if you eat outside the sukkah. That's the difference. If a person, I don't know what, he's in his house reading a book, he could be sitting in the sukkah in his backyard, he read the same book and it's a nice warm day, why not sit in the sukkah? He's not interested, he wants to sit in his living room and read the book. So that's bitla sebiya, b'shev altaisa, that's passive. He's not doing the mitzvah of being in the sukkah when he could or should. But if he actually takes a sandwich and eats it in his dining room, in his mamash sukkah right outside, he doesn't go to the sukkah, he eats the sandwich in his house, that's already a nisa. And that's meduyik, he said in the Rashon of the Rambam. The Rambam writes a very interesting Lashon in Perek Vav. He writes, Eichlin b'shoysim v'yishenim b'sukkah kol shiva. You should eat, drink, sleep in the sukkah. That's the mitzvah say. He mentions sleeping. Then he says, he mentions drinking. He says, v'osu l'echol suda chus v'sukkah kol shiva. You're not allowed to eat a meal, which is bread, beitzah, outside the sukkah. Why does he say the issa only eating? He could say, osu lishon, can't sleep outside the sukkah. It's nice weather, and now let's sleep outside of sukkah. Why does he mention dafke eating? Because the Rav wanted to say. He sleeps outside of sukkah when he could sleep in the sukkah. He's being mevatel yaseh passively. That's a chet of bitul asay. It's not an aveira. It's not an issur. If he eats outside the sukkah, baits of food, of solid food, that's already an issur. So the Rambam only writes the issa lechol chutz l'sukkah. So that's the chiddush of the Rav, that there's a split between the different types of yeshiva. If the yeshiva is general yeshiva, it's a mitzvah asay, but there's no issa to do it when you do it out. Someone does it outside. Achila is already an issa. The bitul asay, it's like biyadayim, it's like killing the mother bird. It's a blatant violation. It's an act of violation. It's an action of violation. And that action of violation turns into an issa. Like killing the mother bird that he took her with for babies. Okay. So that's why he says the Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim, and that's a minik, the general minik, is to make a bracha on a sukkah only when you eat. You go into the sukkah and you eat, you make a bracha. Why? The Rebbe Tam says, because it's the ikar yeshiva, it's the main part of the yeshiva's eating food. Why is that the main part? Sleeping is also important. Learning there is important. Talking to people is important. Everything is important. Well, what made the Rebbe Tam say that eating in the sukkah is the most important part of the mitzvah? So the Rebbe said, because eating in the sukkah has this aspect which no other yeshiva has. If someone eats outside the sukkah, it's an issa. It's being mevatel the asay biyadayim. It's such a core, central part of the mitzvah that doing it outside the sukkah is being mevatel the mitzvah biyadayim. That makes it the core, most important part of the mitzvah, and that's why it gets the bracha. When it's done inside the sukkah, it's obviously, apparently, the most important thing you can do is eat in the sukkah. And that's why it gets the bracha. Okay. Now, this was one chat working with this idea of the mitzvah, bittul mitzvah, and issur. Okay. He had another pshat, which is a very interesting pshat also. Why did Rabbeinu Tam put the bracha only on eating and not on other things? The Rambam paskens, not like that, the Rambam paskens that any time a person goes in for any yeshiva at all, any activity in the sukkah, he must make a bracha. That was the meaning of the Vilna Gaon, and that was the meaning of the Rav. That any time you go into the sukkah for any activity whatsoever, you make a bracha. But Rabbeinu Tam was accepted by the Ramah and most of the Ashkenazic Jewish community, the Chassidim, and the most people. So the Germans, so they only make a bracha when they eat in the sukkah. So he has another pshat besides the first pshat. The first pshat is that eating has another dimension of an isser of eating outside the sukkah. Now he gives another pshat. He has the following idea of the Rav. He says, we find brachas on mitzvahs all over, right? Brach for tefillin, matzah, zuzah. But we also find mitzvahs which don't get brachas. Let's say, b'avta l'reicha kamocha. Or there's another mitzvah, kedoshim tiyu. You should have kedusha, you should live a holy life. Hashavas aveda. There are a lot of mitzvahs which don't get brachas. So there's a whole big discussion, of course, rishonim, achronim, with rules and explanations why certain mitzvahs do not get brachas. I don't know who the original source for this answer is, but I don't think it's the Rav. But the Rav liked this idea very much. He used to say it many times, this particular concept, which one of the Rishonim saying. They say like this. The Rabbanu of Masakin, a bracha of a mitzvah, when the mitzvah is misuyemes, or when the mitzvah has a definite definition, has a clear ma'isa mitzvah. There's a certain specific act that you do. That's the mitzvah. Like I put on tefillin, I eat the matzah. There's a specific ma'isa with a many times it has a cheftza. You do this act with this cheftza, you get the mitzvah. You eat the matzah, you blow the shofar. There they made takanas of a bracha, and they said, make the bracha over la'asiyasan. Before you do that specific ma'isa, make this bracha. That's the gemara. There's a ma'isa mitzvah, and that ma'isa mitzvah gets a bracha right before you do it. There's a ma'isa mitzvah. However, there are a bunch of mitzvahs which don't have any specific ma'isa. They're what you call mitzvahs klalios. Very general mitzvahs which are very amorphous, they're vague in the sense that there's no specific limited way. You can do them many, many, many different ways. Like, for example, v'avta l'reicha kamocha, is many ways. Hashavas aveda, many, many ways. Kedoshim tiyu, to be kadosh. So when you have a mitzvah klolis, the Rabbanu are not masakin a bracha. The Rabbanu are only masakin brachas. Over l'asiyasan, you have a ma'isa mitzvah misuyemes, very specific, clear, defined, limited ma'isa mitzvah. There's a bracha. Once your mitzvah becomes the other kind of mitzvah, klolis, general, open-ended, undefined in terms of limited actions, but unlimited types of actions, so that there's no bracha. Okay. So now he says like this: there's a mitzvah to live in a sukkah. Inside that sukkah, is it a limited action? Is it a ma'isa mesuyam? Or is it a mitzvah klolis? Now really, if a sukkah is supposed to be a house, in one's house I can do many, many things. Eat, drink, sleep, talk, work on the web, write, learn. It's limitless, almost limitless amounts of things you can do. And all of that will be part of the mitzvah of sukkah. So there's a very strong argument to say that sukkah is a mitzvah klolis. If there's no ma'isa mitzvah here with a bracha. However, you can say that there is one ma'isa mitzvah in the sukkah. There's one action which is mesuyam, and that's achila. To eat that kebetza of food is a very interesting thing. the mitzvah in general is klolus. It's open-ended. But within this mitzvah klolus, there's one specific activity which the Torah, the Chazal, said that is a maisa mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, a special mesuyim, limited, defined act, and that specific maisa mitzvah gets the bracha. That's why the Rabbeinu Tam, there's another pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam, that why he said the main mitzvah is achila. That's the mitzvah which has a maisa mitzvah. That gets a bracha. Everything else is mitzvah klolus, no bracha. So in the same mitzvah, you can have a part of the mitzvah which is klolus, general, no bracha, and a certain part of the mitzvah which is pratis, which is specific, gets a bracha. Now the Rambam doesn't hold like that. The Rambam apparently feels that just that going into the sukkah, that is the maisa mesuyim. That's a specific thing. He was outside and now he walks in, so walking in is a maisa mesuyim to get a bracha. Now there is a Tosfos that says you make a bracha for sleeping, eating or sleeping. Just walking into the sukkah and sitting down there, reading sefer, talking on the telephone in the sukkah, that type of says there's no bracha. But you eat, make a bracha. Or go to sleep in the sukkah, he says you make a bracha. Because he apparently feels that sleeping is also a maisa mesuyim, a special kind of an action which gets a special spotlight. And that becomes spotlighted in the sukkah. He did the action of sleeping or going to sleep, and that's why he gets a bracha. That's what Tosfos says. So there might be two situations of bracha according to that, either eating in the sukkah or going to sleep in the sukkah. The Rambam is just walking into the sukkah. Now, there's a very interesting question which came up by the Taz. The Taz said a tremendous chiddush. He said like this. Let's say a guy goes into the sukkah in the morning and he makes a bracha leishah b'sukkah, eats breakfast. He came back from shul. He goes into sukkah to eat breakfast and he makes a leishah b'sukkah. And then he stays in the sukkah for another 4 or 5 hours. He ate breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now it's already 12 o'clock. It's already lunchtime. He never really left the sukkah. He's been there for 4 hours. He was never mafsik. Now the lunch comes in and there's a bread again. Should he make another bracha? The Taz says yes, because it's another meal. Since it's another meal, you're making bracha. And the other poskim say no. There was never hesach hadas. He was never mafsik. He's been in the sukkah for 4 hours. If you're doing a mitzvah for 4 hours, you don't make a bracha. Again, this is a continuation of the previous mitzvah. So there's a big machlokes here. I don't know halacha l'maaseh what to do between the Taz and these other poskim. If someone's in the sukkah from breakfast to lunch, you can have from lunch to supper, let's say, in Yantav you come home. Sit in the sukkah, it's a beautiful day. You have a nice lunch. After lunch, you learn in the sukkah. And then, all of a sudden, it's 3-4 hours later, and they say, you know what, let's serve a supper. And after the supper, let's serve a late brunch or something. And then we'll go to shul. So it's a question. According to Taz, you make another leishah b'sukkah, even though you've been there all the time. And the other person, you know, so what's the machlokes? What's this machlokes all about? So it depends on what we said. If we said that eating in a sukkah gets a bracha because it's a special maisa mitzvah, the general yeshiva b'sukkah has no bracha because mitzvah klolos has no bracha. So now, if a guy came in, let's say, he ate his breakfast at 8 o'clock, he made the maisa mitzvah of achila, and he makes the bracha on that ma'aser mitzvah. Fine. 9 o'clock, he finished breakfast. He benched. Now he stays there. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Doing a lot of other things. He's doing mitzvahs klolos. That bracha he made at 8 o'clock. Huh? He never left. That bracha he made at 8 o'clock. Is that still valid on the yeshiva, this general thing that he's sitting around in the sukkah for 3-4 hours? Is he doing it with a bracha or without a bracha? He made a bracha on breakfast. That breakfast, that yeshiva got a bracha. Then his modus operandi changed. He finished the breakfast, he benched. Now he's just sitting around in the sukkah, he's getting a mitzvah klolos. What about the bracha? That bracha is still valid? Well, that bracha also ceased because the mitzvah mesuyemes, the specific mitzvah of eating, ended. So the bracha ended. Now he's sitting there without a bracha. Then the Taz says if lunch comes in at 12 o'clock, now is a new mitzvah mesuyemes, make a bracha. You didn't have a bracha for 3 hours. You were doing a mitzvah without a bracha. General mitzvah, v'atel recha kamocha. Yeshiva besukkah is no bracha. Now comes in the lunch. Mitzvah mesuyemes, ma'aser mitzvah. Make a bracha. So that's the Taz, make another bracha. Why did the other poskim disagree? Why did they say, no, you don't make another bracha? Because your first bracha from breakfast still is valid for this lunch 4 hours later. Why? Because they apparently feel that on the mitzvah klolos of sukkah, by itself, you don't make a bracha. That's if a guy just goes in, he's not eating breakfast. He's not sitting in the sukkah. There's no bracha. It's mitzvah klolos. But if he eats the breakfast at 8 o'clock with a bracha, then he benches and he continues to sit in the sukkah. That bracha does not disappear because once it was chal on the mitzvah mesuyemes of the achila of the breakfast, it carries over to the mitzvah klolos of staying in the sukkah. You don't make a bracha just for a mitzvah klolos. But if there's a mitzvah like this, which is a mizug, it's a combination mitzvah. Part of it is mesuyemes and part of it is klolos. So if I made the bracha on the mesuyemes part, on the achila, now the language of the bracha is very general. It's asher kitshonu mitzvah yisvonu leishev basukah. They don't say in that bracha asher kitshonu mitzvah yisvonu lechol basukah. They say leishev basukah. So these other posts can feel once you made that bracha leishev basukah for the achila, it's already chal on the yeshiva bechlal, and therefore it goes on and on and on. That original bracha is going on 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. You're sitting there with the benefit of a bracha. When lunch comes, there's no need for a new bracha. You have the old bracha. The Taz says no. That first bracha has disappeared. It's only on that pratis event of eating and finished. It doesn't go on. Now, so you're sitting for 3 hours without a bracha. Very nice. The mitzvah klolos does not need, but now it's only for food. So therefore, you get a lunch, you can do bracha. That's what the Taz says. But these other posts can feel that the bracha needs food to start off. But then it goes on to the klolos part, and it stays there. So now, when you eat a second meal, you don't need another bracha because that first bracha is still functioning, and there was never a hefsek. Just doing a mitzvah for 4 hours, 5 hours, and you're eating twice. It's all part of the one big mitzvah, and the same with single bracha for everything. I think most people are like this, these poskim. Not too many people are like the Taz, from my experience. Yes?
Hefsek would be just leaving the sukkah?
No, hefsek means you leave the sukkah, you don't know when you're coming back. You go to the bathroom, that's not a hefsek.
Right, to get more food.
It's not a hefsek. Hefsek means, let's say, someone says, let's go shopping. So you go out shopping, and then you want to say, let's go buy some achveis, some extra aravas. So you leave the sukkah to go to a store, that's a hefsek. That would definitely stop the first mitzvah.
Is not benching, like keeping...
benching is not a hesach hadas. He's sitting in the sukkah.
I mean, like, let's say you're in a suda and you're like, I'm leaving, I don't know if I'll be back, but I'm not
going to
bench.
Oh. I guess he's planning to come back pretty soon.
Right, that's already.
That could be okay. That would be maybe fine that he's still. No, it's fine. It's, because these are questions. These are questions which come up all the time.
Yes.
What's considered a hefsig or hesach hadas when the person leaves the sukkah? So he comes back, then he will have to make another bracha for food. For sure. He eats more amazonos. So. Right, that's a good question. I mean, that's a. Okay, Rotai. He did. I think he said 9:45 to 10:45. I mean, you have 10 more minutes. You want to have another little. You want to have some more?
Yeah.
It's good stuff, okay.
Can I answer your question?
Yes.
Where did this post game say that it's only. You only make a bracha one time for one sheep. For when you start the Akilah, then it continues.
There it goes.
Could you say that if we assume like the Chaskadah, could you say that there's only an
Isser
if I once I go into the
sukkah,
make that bracha, then leave
it?
Meaning if I start the day, never
went
in.
No. Since the Ramjo says it's an Isser to eat, doesn't say only when he's in and goes out. That's the Isser. This is. If he never goes in and eats outside, there's also going to be the issue. Yeah.
Could you say even in the reading of the Rambam, until like once I start my yeshiva sukkah in the first place?
It's hard to be that into the Rambam, because the Rambam is a general rule. He's saying, he says, Ochen v'shosim v'yishenim b'sukkah kol shiva, bein v'yom v'yom v'yom, that's the key of my mitzvah, v'osur lechol suda chutz v'sukkah kol shiva. Never said because you started and then you went out, it just says, osur lechol.
That's the first part of the Rambam, that once my mitzvah starts, once I enter in my sukkah, now I'm clear, that then there's a bittul. That's a very big chiddush, okay, that's something I never heard from anybody, not from the Rambam. I never saw that there's a special, that the issur is only when you start and then you leave.
So everybody's assuming that if it's an issur, there's an issur. Stam. Yeah. About this whole thing, the Rambam says you make a bracha just for walking in general. It doesn't require. Yeah, according to Rambam for sure, if you make a bracha at the beginning, that's klalus. Fine. Because he considers yeshiva specific enough that you make a bracha. Because it's a sukkah, so it has some kind of a definition.
So the 4 hours later is not the klalus.
He doesn't have. He considers just the yeshiva itself prati. He puts sitting in a sukkah like eating matzah. He doesn't consider it klalus, because that's the main machlokas, the Rambam or everybody else. Whether the Rambam agrees, I think, with the general idea that you do not make a bracha on a mitzvah klalus. I think that's like across the board. Almost everybody would agree with that, because there's so many mitzvahs which are general, there are no brachas. So, but, and if that's what's going on with the sukkah, so then that's the machlokas, whether, the klolis part, is it a mitzvah klolis, except for eating, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam feels, or is it always a mitzvah pratis, because at the end of the day, the Rambam says you're going into a sukkah, it's specific enough to make a bracha. And the lashon of the bracha is lay shape of sukkah, doesn't it? He doesn't say eating. I've been grappling with this question for literally decades, because I grew up, my father was a chassidish type guy, so they only make a bracha when you eat a real meal. It has to be bread. And the Rav, he's from the Minhagim of the Vilna Gaon. No, they will connect to that. So he makes brachas anytime he walks into a sukkah. And I'm a Talmud of the Rav. I've had this issue. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do, because my father, but my whole life I'm following the Rav and the Rambam, you know. So you have a Rambam, a Vilna Gaon. Vav, for me, I'm a Talmud, a big time Talmud, so it's hard for me not to do. But at the same time, I find it very, very hard on a personal level to make a bracha where my father would definitely not make that bracha. So I've been doing things which I don't think are correct. I mean, I've been making a bracha when I eat or drink something. Rabbeinu Tam says you make a bracha when you eat a beitza, which is chayiv in sukkah, beitza of bread or beitza of cake. Those things are chayiv. So I'll make a bracha when I eat an apple. I'll make a bracha for an ice cream. But that's neither here nor there. It's not the Rabbeinu Tam or the Rambam. It's just, it's basically nonsense.
I think I've heard that sheet before.
It could be there's such a sheet. Okay, I don't know, but it makes me feel good. I'm doing something like my father, I'm eating, I'm doing something like the Rav, not really eating something serious, just a snack, but it's enough for a maisa. It's enough of a maisa to say there's a maisa mitzvah for a bracha. It converts what we're doing from klolis to protus, from general to specifics, you get a bracha. Okay, I'm happy to hear that there's other people who say
that. I'm
happy to hear that.
The Rav made the bracha before you walked in, or this after you walked in?
Yeah.
The Sheikh around, it's before you walk in.
Well, yeah, when you walk in, and the Rambam says if you're going to sit down, make the bracha when you right before you sit down, because sitting down, that's the kviyus. There's a concept of kviyus, of being in the sukkah, really being there. So if you're going to sit down, make the bracha. But the Rav said if you're not going to sit down, make the bracha just for walking in. Only when you sit down and eat a real meal, like bread or cake, a beitza.
You say the mezonos, ramotzi, and then leisha, right?
Right. Learning Torah in the sukkah? According to the Rav and the Rambam, yeah, for sure. Yeah, if you come in to learn, you make a bracha. Wondered Rabbi Shacht, I'm pretty sure. I don't know, ask Rabbi Shacht if he makes a bracha for walking in. Because I don't know if his father did either. Because his father is not really. Okay.
Could
Rabbi
just eat
mezonos
every time he goes in and then when he leaves?
Yeah, a lot of people will do that to avoid this whole big machlokas. They'll eat mezonos. So you gain a few pounds over sukkahs. Because you're always eating a piece of cake or a cookie. Something. You have to eat a beitza, so it's not just one cookie. It could be a big cookie, black and white, a big cookie. But eat a small cookie, it's not going to work. I've always thought about just maybe every time I sit down, I should make it with a mezonos. But then I've had to gain a lot of weight.
Would Rabbi still have to make a second pasta even once he lives in Sukkah in order to avoid the machlokas? Or even according to the
Rebbe,
once you go
back. The Hesach Hadas, you make another bracha with Hesach Hadas if you come back. Not if you just go back and forth, then there's no new bracha, even according to the Rambam. Okay, now let's do the last thing, because there's something very interesting here. The first night of Sukkot, first night, the Gemara says everybody's chayiv to eat. In other words, the other 6 days, if I don't want to eat any bread or cake, I don't have to go to a sukkah. The chiv is only if you eat something solid. Something more called a suda. So a suda would be the bread or cake, and there has to be a beitza. However, the Gemara says, and if you don't want to, you don't have to. Not mechuyav. However, the first night we have a gzeir shavah. The way the first night of Pesach is a chiv tida kazayis of matzah, there's also a chiv tida kazayis the first night in the sukkah of bread. So you have to eat bread. It doesn't say how much. It says you have to eat. There's a chiv. How much it doesn't say. So now how much taka are you mechuyav to eat the first night? That's a machlokes. The Rambam says it's a kazayis, like matzah. And the Ritvos says it's a beitza like the rest of the holiday of sukkahs. The rest of the holiday of sukkahs, when do I have to go eat in a sukkah of either beitza of bread or cake? So the first night I must eat that beitza, I can't avoid it. She says it's a beitza. The Ram has a kazayis because matzah is a kazayis. So what's this machloikas? How do we explain this machloikas? It seems to be like, you know, the Ritvos saying, well, let's look at matzah. Chamishos, matzah is a kazayis, here's a kazayis. The Ram says, no, well, let's look at sukkah. I mean, the Rambam says, let's look at matzah, he has kazayis. And the Ritvos says, let's look at sukkah, which is beitza. So the other days, beitza is the critical amount, so the first night, also a beitza is a critical amount. Okay. Now there are two parts of the Gzeirah Shavuot. There's a matzah part and there's a sukkah part. So the Rambam is emphasizing the matzah part, which is the kazayis, and the Ritva is emphasizing the sukkah part, which is a beitza. Oh, there's a new shi. Okay, no. We're finished. Okay, no, that's what I figured. Yeah. There's another way. Anyway, what I want to say, the machlokes is the mitzvah the first night. We have 3 more minutes to go. Is the mitzvah the first night yeshiva? The whole month we say the mitzvah is yeshiva. What the first night? Is it yeshiva? So I have to eat a beitza. That's the shita of the Ritva. Well, the first night it's a different kind of a mitzvah. It's achila, like matzah. Then he goes to kazayis. Is it a chiv yeshiva? Then you have to eat a beitza. That's Ritva. Is it a chiv achila? Then it's a kazayis. That's the Rambam. So that's one machlokes. And he says there'll be another machlokes, which will be totally on this. Let's say it's raining. You're mitzdaya. If it's a chiv of yeshiva, you're potter. Mitzdaya is potter from yeshiva. If it's a chiv achila, you're chayiv in mitzdaya. That's why you have to eat in the rain. So that's a big machlokes. If it's raining the first night, what should you? So we eat in the rain without a bracha, and then after the rain stops, we come in with a bracha. Okay, we'll stop here, both sides. I think we did it. We got the last piece also. Main question is at yeshiva or achila? Okay. I have 2 more minutes. After another minute. We can say one last little piece. The Rav wanted to say a very interesting thing, that if it's raining, could be that it's even worse. If it's raining, could be that the sukkah itself is not a sukkah. Therefore, even if it would be achila, you would be potter. Because it's raining. But let's say there's some other tzar, not raining. Let's say it's not convenient to go. I don't know, you have to go on a subway race first. So then, if it's achila, you should go. If it's something with the tzar is inside the sukkah, that's so bad, that tzar, that removes the whole idea of being in a sukkah, and therefore even achila won't be good in that sukkah.
Achila's still achila in the sukkah.
Right. Right, it's not stam achila, it's achila in the sukkah. So if it's raining, it's sar in the sukkah itself, it's not a sukkah. It's a chson in the sukkah. So then even the Rambam's idea of achila could be you would not do it in the rain. But you would do it if it's not convenient. Let's say there's a subway ride or something. Because Mrs. Achila, who cares? I have to do it. If it's yeshiva, I'm not mechuyev to do yeshiva if it's not convenient. Okay, Rotaya Shikor.
And the Geshem is, what do you say? It's
what?
The way the
Shem Sukkah. The Geshem, yeah. In a certain way, it becomes.
Possible, it seems to be possible.
I wouldn't say possible, but it's not the functioning Sukkah.
Shulman, last year, said exactly the Shabbat.
In the Tsar and the.
Yeah.
Good. Probably in the Rav safer, but I don't think it's the only. I don't think the Rav was the first person to say it. I'm sure that this idea of achila and yeshiva is a classical shot. It's a gishma. Yeah, very gishma.
I
remember
explaining
tzar,
a very distinct and objective.
There's objective and subjective. So could be rain is objective, but just my personal feelings is subjective. Even I have to tell you that Moshe Feinstein said even rain, and my father also, a bunch of Jews, fine Jews, feel that even rain is subjective. If I feel comfortable in the rain, I should eat there. And then a lot of these people say, the mitzvah is so fantastic, I always feel comfortable. Doesn't make a difference how rain, how cold it is, how rainy it is. I'm comfortable because I'm doing this mitzvah. And so then, it's against the Ramah. The Ramah says if someone sits in the rain, he's a hedyot. It means he's a plain Jew. So these Hasidim say, so I'm a hedyot, so fine. I'm a kosh to eat, and I like sitting in the sukkah. So I'm not a tzaddik. I don't have to be a tzaddik. Okay. Thank you.